All right, y'all, welcome to day three of the ways of the word, making sense of scripture. I got two books left to give away. So that means two questions today. If you've already, raise your hand if you've already won a book. Sorry, you can't play. Still love you. It's all good. You've just been very successful already. So I got two books right here to give away. I'll give two questions. Raise your hand. First question, these are going to be from yesterday. First question is, what are the four parts of the big story of Scripture that I wrote on the board? I don't need to see. Whose hand was up first? Boom, nailed it. All right, take your pick. You guys, like, everybody remembered. I was so impressed by that. That was awesome. Okay, so I've got one more question to win the final book, the biggest winner here. The question is this. What is the first thing we have to know before we try to apply a passage to our own context? Yes. That's really good, but I'm not what I'm looking for. I'll go right here. No, is anybody in right here? Boom, nailed it. You have to know what is being said to the original audience before you can apply it to today. Congratulations. I'm sorry if I'm a terrible picker of who was first. I'm really sorry. And covenant people, I'm sorry. I was being given preference to people not in our church. Reason being, here's the reason. All of the books I gave away, we have in our youth house library. You can always check them out and read them. Always. If you really want to keep them, we'll make it work. We'll make it happen. All right. I want to give a little recap before we get into today. Day one, we talked about why it's hard to read the Bible and study the Bible, what our personal hurdles are, kind of identified those. We also talked about why it's worth it to read the Bible. It's something really valuable. And then we looked at different genres of literature, different parts of different books that are within the Bible. It's this little library unto itself. And then yesterday we talked about the story of the Bible and how we have to understand the big story. All you guys in the front row were right on with that. We have to understand the bigger story with where all these little stories branch off from or are a part of if we're going to understand the passage we're looking at. And we have to understand that big story related to our passage as we're trying to connect it to our own story. We find those intersecting lines between the story of the Bible and the story of our lives. And we looked at how can we interpret the Bible and how can we better apply the Bible to our lives. We practice some of that. And so taking some of those things today, what we're going to try to do is we're going to do a few more how-tos, as you can see over here on the board. How not to, how to read the Bible. Some different settings you'll read the Bible in. But what I want us to leave today with is having a plan, a Bible reading plan that you can go home with, a plan that is also has some accountability and some encouragement built into it, so you have people walking alongside you, and remembering grace. Remember, we talked about the big story. The whole story is about God being gracious to his people in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, which means in your reading of the Bible, God is showing you grace. So if you miss a day, if you miss a week, if you miss a month, when you come back to read your Bible again, God has outstretched arms to you. He wants to meet with you. Grace. God's first inclination toward you is mercy and grace. Never forget that. So we want to have a plan, we want to have accountability, and we want to remember grace. Really important. So I'm going to pray for us, then we're going to do another kind of scripture meditation like we did yesterday, and then we're going to do our how to, how not to stuff, and then we're going to do a little bit of practice, get a plan together at the end. So let me pray for us, and then we will jump into our scripture we're going to meditate on. Let's go, Lord. Father, we are grateful to be here another day. We are grateful to get to spend time in your word together. Father, you have provided so many resources for us and the people in our lives and the people who have done great study on the Bible themselves and offered it up to us, that we might know you more deeply, more intimately. And we pray, Father, that would be the fruit of this week, that we would have a greater renewed desire to understand your word and to meet with you, and that you would help us by your Spirit to do so. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so yesterday, here it is. Yesterday we looked at Psalm 19, which is a great passage that about the Bible talking about itself. So we're going to look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 14 through 17 today. If you want to get your Bible out, you can look at it there. I think we're going to have it on the screen as well. We're going to do those three readings as well. But I want to give you a little background on what's going on here so we can understand a little bit better. 2 Timothy is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. Paul lived a couple decades after Jesus. He was one of the guys who really planted a lot of churches, started a bunch of new churches around the Mediterranean area, around the Middle East and parts of Europe and things like that. And Timothy is one of the younger men that he trained to be a pastor. He loved Timothy very deeply. He even calls Timothy his son in the faith. There's a lot of affection between them. And Paul is writing this letter to encourage Timothy as a pastor, as a young pastor. 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy are both that. And that's what he's writing here. And a little story about Timothy. So Timothy grew up, the Christian influences in his life were his grandmother and his mother. And so he was around the Bible. He was around the Word of God from an early age because of those two people in his life. And I can really relate to that because that's the same for me, my grandmother and my mother in my life. And so that you're going to see that in the passage here that comes up. That's a little bit of story about Timothy. And 2 Timothy, I believe, is the last letter that Paul wrote before he died, before he was killed in Rome. And so this is kind of some of the last words of Paul to Timothy, encouraging him as he's trying to be a pastor and trying to preach the gospel and love people well and build up the church. So let's read it together. The first reading here, we're going to remember it's going to be about word. We're going to listen for a word or phrase that stands out to you. And ask yourself the question, could this word be meant for me? Could this word be meant for me? So this is God's word, 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof and for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Listen for a word or phrase that stands out to you. Could this word be meant for you? Maybe write it down. Reflect on it for a few moments. I'm going to do our second reading now. This one is about intersection. Listen now where this word that has come to the surface, that where does this word intersect with your life right now? Ask yourself the questions, why am I drawn to this word? What in my life needs to be met by this word? I'm going to read again from 2 Timothy 3. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Where does this word intersect with your life right now? Why are you drawn to it? What in your life needs to be met by this word right now? Take a few moments to think about that. All right, now I'm going to do our third reading. This one is focused on response. I'm going to listen again to the Scripture for your deepest response from your heart. And through the Scripture, ask yourself this question. Through the Scripture right here, is there a good desire that the Holy Spirit is stirring in me through what God is saying here? This is 2 Timothy 3 again. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Listen for the deepest response from your heart. Through this Scripture, is there a good desire that the Holy Spirit is stirring in you in terms of response? Maybe it's thanksgiving for the people in your life who, like Timothy's parents or mother and grandmother, taught him the word. Maybe it's thanksgiving for people like Paul who've come alongside you in your life and helped you know God and know his word better. Maybe it's thanksgiving for God giving you his word, that he breathed it out so that you might know him. He accommodated himself to our language, to our smallness, so we might know him. Maybe it's thankfulness that through the Scriptures, God has made you wise for salvation through faith, a faith that he's given by his grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Something you couldn't do, but he did for you. Or like yesterday, I'm gonna pray through this passage. I'm gonna pray it back to the Lord, kind of an example of how you guys can do this in this kind of meditating conversation with God. And you can kind of walk with me and kind of trace as I go through the passage, praying it back to the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you how you are strong, you're wise, and you're intimately involved in all of our stories and in our lives, Lord. You've put family members and other people in our lives to expose us to yourself and to your word and to the Lord Jesus, to the ways of godliness. And Lord, we couldn't have done that. We couldn't have planned that ourselves. We had no control. We were just born into the families we were born into. We were born in the places we were born. We went to the schools we were sent to. But Lord, you have put people in our lives. You've put family members. You've put mentors. You've put friends in our lives to teach us your word, to show us who God is, who you are. And we thank you for that. Lord, for so many of us in this room, we have been around the sacred writings. We've been around the word of God our whole lives. And that is an extremely beautiful, wonderful gift. One that we don't give thanks for enough, Lord. And we do thank you today for it. We thank you that by your grace you have made us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, that the things that we can't do for ourselves, you are willing to do and desire to do for us. Even our small, weak faith, Lord, you give as a gift, and it grants to us salvation because of what Jesus has done. Lord, we thank you that you have accommodated yourself, you've humbled yourself by breathing out your word in our language, in our plain language, so that we might understand you and know you. You've moved so far towards us in love that we might respond to you in love. And Father, we do thank you for this word that teaches us in the ways of godliness. It reproves us and corrects us when we go astray and when we walk in paths that we should not walk. And it trains us in the paths of righteousness that we might walk in them and find eternal life. Lord, we pray that you would make us you would make us complete. You would equip us for every good work, Lord. We are not this, but we pray that you, over time, by your grace, would make us into this, Lord, that we might practice what the new heavens and the new earth will be like now, that in us people would see glory, the glory of God, the glory of Jesus, which is shown through service, which is shown through humility, which is shown through humble faith in you. But it is the power of God unto eternity. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. That's another example of how we can marinate on it. We can think about it for a while, and it can fuel the fire of our prayer life, this conversation with God. Because That is what the Bible is all about. It's about initiating this conversation, this relationship with God. He speaks to us so that we might speak to Him, that we might know Him, we might have communion and fellowship with Him. It's about a relationship and an enduring relationship that goes into eternity. So God is coming to you, speaking to you, and He wants to talk. He wants to walk with you. He wants to love you. It's a beautiful thing. Since it's, what's today, Wednesday? This Wednesday, everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. All right, we're going to do three jumping jacks. You ready? One, two, three. All right, now sit down. All right, loosen it up. We did that in the last class, too. It was really important. We needed to do that. Well, I'll be gauging the crowd. Maybe we'll do another one later, okay? So we're going to look at these three things real quick here, how not to read the Bible, how to read the Bible, and a couple settings in which we read the Bible. And then we're going to practice getting together a plan as you guys go back home. So you have a plan on how you're going to read the Bible. So where's my marker? Here it is. We're going to start with how not to read the Bible. I'm going to give you four things here, okay? First thing, how not to read the Bible is not to read it randomly. By the way, I need to give a disclaimer here. These are from this book, the Book of Books. So if you won this book, congratulations. You can buy it on Amazon. I think it's like $5. You can get it in 2 days, $5. Really helpful, and these are found in here with a little more explanation. If we read randomly, if we just jump around in Scripture looking for something that inspires us each day, without getting the context of the rest of the book, without getting the context of where it fits in the rest of the story, we could potentially be very confused about what is being said to us. Josiah, in our first session, told me this crazy story. I have to verify if it's true, but it was interesting. Josiah's lived in Europe. He's one of our leaders at Covenant, and he grew up in the mission field. And he told me the story of a Ukrainian priest who was convinced by God's word that he needed to go into the lion's pit at the zoo, and he was eaten by lions. Apparently this is a true story, I don't know. That's really extreme. So bottom line, if you read your Bible randomly, you might get eaten by a lion. No, I'm just kidding. If we read our Bibles out of context, not in community, just looking for something that inspires us, we can find ourselves getting in trouble and not really interpreting the Bible as it ought to be interpreted. So we want to be careful not to do that. Second thing, we don't want to read the Bible with fear. And you guys expressed that on day one. Some of you guys feel very overwhelmed and afraid when you come up to the Bible, and that makes sense. And I want you to know, everybody feels that way to some extent. Because it's daunting. It's this old library of books, and it's confusing. So first of all, I hope you feel okay. It makes you feel better to know that you're not alone. Everybody else feels the same way. Okay? But do y'all know the old saying, how you eat an elephant? How do you eat an elephant? Does anybody know? One bite at a time, right? Think about it this way. You should think about reading your Bible as a lifelong endeavor. It's this lifelong relationship of getting to know God. And it takes time to grow in that, to grow in your ability, to grow in your understanding. And just over repetition, over time, you're building this knowledge of God, and it takes time. So if you think like, it's like trying to run a marathon without training for it. Like if you just think you're going to go run a marathon tomorrow, of course that's it's fearful and that's crazy. But what we're trying to do is it's a long-term thing, okay? And that's okay. Third thing, don't read the Bible with yourself at the center. Who's the main character of the Bible? Yeah, Sunday school answer, God, and Jesus is including that, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is the main character of the Bible. We are important, we're part of it, but we're not the most important part of it, okay? So if you read the Bible with yourself at the center, you're going to misunderstand the whole story. You're not going to see what it's truly about. It's like this, Well, I'm not going to go with this illustration. I don't think it really works. This can lead you into a lot of trouble because you're going to see this story from a whole different slant if you think it's the main character is another person. Fourth thing, I'm going to say this here. Don't read the Bible with scissors and a red pen. And this is not a warning to not run with scissors or anything like that. I believe it's Thomas Jefferson who did this, but it was one of our founding fathers, and who, when he read parts of the Bible that he didn't like, he would literally cut the parts out of his Bible with scissors. He's like, this, I don't agree with this, I don't like this, snip, gone. These two might go together. If you read the Bible with yourself at the center, you might start cutting pieces out of your Bible or marking that with red pen. Because it you're using yourself as the standard rather than God as the standard. And let's think about this. If we believe that we are sinners, and God is holy, and God who is holy is speaking to us as sinners, he's going to have things that he's going to say that we're not going to like, that are going to contradict us, that are going to confront us, that are going to press us in ways that we don't really like. And it should do that. If you're reading the Bible and it's not convicting you and it's not challenging you, you might have a problem. That's more of the problem. If you do feel convicted, good. If it makes you feel uncomfortable, awesome. That is the point. God is trying to transform us into the image of Jesus. And that hurts like crazy. And it makes you feel all discombobulated. That's the point. All right, so that's how not to do Bible. Anybody have any questions? Anything I can clarify at this point? Is there a question?
Is it always uncomfortable? Can it sometimes be comforting?
Yes, good point. It should not always be uncomfortable, and I'm not saying that there shouldn't be any source of comfort. I mean, think about Psalm 23. Incredibly comforting passage, often read at funerals especially. The Bible is comforting because it's God proclaiming his love for us. So thank you for that question. It's we should be confronted, we should be convicted, but it's also comfort as well. And God is really good at doing that. He mixes the two together a lot. If you're reading different books of the Bible, Paul, when he's writing a lot, is calling people out for things that they're doing, but he's also reminding them who they are in Jesus. He's bringing them back to the gospel. And so it's a mixture of those two. Thank you for that. Any other questions about the how not to before I move on? Yeah. That's a great segue to how to read the Bible. Me and Ella are on the same wavelength here. All right, we're going to go right into that. So this is going to be a perfect transition. The first way you need to read the Bible is with a plan. That plan can be as simple as I'm going to read through the Gospel of Mark, bit by bit, whatever I can manage each time I sit down. That could be 3 verses. It could be a whole chapter. But with a plan. And we're gonna figure this out at the end of our time together today. But you have to have a plan. I think about it like this. If you think about it like your diet, what you eat, or if you think about it like a workout for a sport, if you don't have a plan, you're going to eat just trash. If you don't have a plan, you're going to eat whatever you want to eat, like me. If you don't have a workout plan, you're not going to go to the gym. You're not going to do it. If you don't have a goal, you don't have a plan, it's not going to happen. And so the same with our Bibles, we have to have a plan. It can be a very simple plan. It doesn't have to be really elaborate, but we have to have some sort of plan. Number two is read the Bible with a partner. I think this is something I don't know where this came from. I have suffered from quiet time guilt most of my Christian life. You know, you've got to go off by yourself and have this amazing, impacting time with Jesus every day. And guys, let me just tell you, let me poke a huge hole in that and say, that is not what you're shooting for. That is not reality, okay? It's good to have consistency, and it's good to have time alone with God where you're reading and praying by yourself, but you don't have to just, it's not a solo endeavor. You're not a lone ranger in this. I've been really... Even in the past couple of years, especially, been encouraged by regular time with other people going through Scripture. This could be like a Bible study. This could be any type of meeting. Maybe you have friends, you go to the same school, you could meet up at some point during school or before school to read together. Finding someone who is in this with you together, that you guys can have a plan together and read together. Still have those times by yourself, but know you also can do this with other people. And also know that every time's not going to be super amazing and change your life forever. Think about it like eating food. You need to eat food every day. It's bad if you don't eat all week. Right? So think about it that way. Number three, read with patience and perseverance. With patience and perseverance. A lot of times the Bible is going to sound unusual to you. Sometimes it's going to sound outright wrong to you, like it's just got it wrong. Doesn't jive with what I think or what I believe. But again, what allows you to push through is that it's worth it. You remember going back to day one, something that's incredibly valuable. It shows God to us. It connects us to Jesus that we might be saved. It shows us ultimate reality, what is really true. And so it's worth pushing through and persevering. And again, thinking of more of a long-term marathon mentality. If you try to run a marathon as a sprint, what's going to happen to you? You're going to basically crush yourself. You can't run it like a sprint. Pace yourself. And let that encourage you. It's going to take time, and you're going to build up over time is the way you go. And here's some questions I'm going to read from here. Some questions you can ask yourself as you're reading passages of Scripture, and that might help you run the marathon. And they're related to four things. What does this teach me about God? So the first question is about God. What I learn about myself? How does this prepare the way for Jesus? Or how does this show, or what does this show me about Jesus? And what does this part of the Bible, how does this part of the Bible fit into the big story, the big picture? So think about this way. You're asking questions about God, about yourself, about Jesus, and about the big story. That'll help you, you know, persevere. You're asking those questions, and over time it's gonna make more and more sense to you. Number four is you want to read the Bible with personal reflection. We can fall into the habit of reading the Bible or hearing the Bible and thinking about how it relates to the world or our society or maybe politics or what it says to my brother or sister right next to me or my parents. When we really have to be applying it to ourselves as well. Because the Bible is God speaking, certainly is God speaking to his people and speaking to the world, but it's also God speaking to individuals. God's word, when he speaks, he's saying something to each and every one of us. And he knows our hearts, and he knows where we are. And when the word comes to us, he is going to use it by his Spirit to say something to you right where you are. That's why in this room, we meditated on 2 Timothy 3, and we probably all thought different things. It's beautiful. God is speaking to you through his word. But we have to do the personal reflection. We have to think about ourselves. Don't just think about all the stuff out there. What is God saying to you? Where is he calling you out? What sin is he trying to expose? How is he trying to comfort and encourage you? How is he speaking to that situation in your life that's really frustrating you right now? That painful thing that doesn't seem to go away. How is he speaking into your family situation or your friend group situation right now? Thinking about it with personal reflection. Number five, read the Bible with practical common sense. You know, they say common sense is not so common, so maybe this might be a problem for us. Well, the Bible is spiritual, but it's not spooky or mystical. It's written in plain language for us to understand. What's really cool, I think about the New Testament. The New Testament is written in Greek, but do you know what kind of Greek it was written in? It was written in the everyday slang speak of the day that everybody spoke in. That's really encouraging to me because it means that God wants to communicate with us so much that he's going to bring it down to our level right where we are every day. And so when you read the Bible, Read it with practical common sense. The better reader you are, the better you're going to read the Bible. So pay attention in lit class. Even if your teacher's annoying or you think it's stupid sometimes, it will at least help you read the Bible better. Learn your grammar. Really work hard to read. Try to learn how you can improve your reading comprehension. Your endurance in reading, how you're being able to read longer stuff and more complex stuff. That's honestly one of my greatest concerns for y'all's generation, is that because reading comprehension is going down, we're going to miss all the treasures of God's Word. I don't want you guys to miss that. But it does take some hard work, especially if maybe some of you struggle with dyslexia and other things like that. I know it's really hard work to do this, but it's worth it. And you have people to help you and support you. I'm in doing that. Last thing here, and this is kind of a no-brainer, I guess, is to read the Bible with prayer. This is a conversation. Remember, God is speaking and inviting us into a conversation, into a relationship. And so a conversation is two-way. He speaks, we speak. He pursues us, we pursue him. And so a prayer is an intimate, it's an integral part of reading the Bible. It goes together. It's this conversation. And you may think, oh, Greg, you're a pastor, you went to seminary. I can't pray through that passage like you did earlier. You know, that's okay. That's something to maybe work towards. But what you can do at the very least is just say, God, help me. Help me understand this passage I'm reading. I don't understand. I'm confused. This word is bothering me. I don't get it. This frustrates me. You can start there and just build on that. And also you can pray that God would, we have to pray that God will help us, because the crazy thing about this, it is written in our plain language, but we can't understand what God is saying through those words unless the Holy Spirit helps us. That's why you may have noticed in our Sunday services, I'm sure all your churches do something like this. There's usually a prayer right before or after the passage is read that's going to be preached on. It's called the prayer of illumination. That God would illuminate our hearts, would help us by His Spirit to understand what's being preached. Not just that we can read the words and kind of get a gist for what's going on, but that we can understand what God is saying through it. We are completely dependent upon God to understand His Word. So that's something we can always be praying for and joining in that conversation with God, even if it's just this feeble baby talk, like spiritual baby talk back to Him. God wants to talk to us. All right, so any questions right here? Yeah. I just noticed that. Jeff Robson, who wrote this book, he liked that. That's really good. Okay, I'm going to move on to this. Let's stand up again. Let's do three more jumping jacks. Stand up, stretch. We need it. Ready? 1, 2, 3. All right, great. Sit back down. That was beautiful. Feel the blood flowing? No football. All right. I'm going to say something about two different settings that we can hear God's word, and then we're going to make a plan, and then we're done, okay? Two settings that we hear God's word most often is in corporate worship. That's Sunday morning worship, and then also private study. If you think about this, maybe in a sporting analogy, number one, corporate worship is like going to practice. You've got to go to practice. Private study is like, you know, if you're a baseball player, you're in the cage. You're doing hitting practice on the side in addition to that. Or you're a basketball player, you're in the gym practicing your free throws, or in the weight room in addition to practice, okay? Number one is most important and the most regular way we're going to be fed, and we're going to be trained in how to read the Bible. But then this is supplements in a big way our understanding of God and our reading of the Bible. And I just want to say a few things like this. In our worship services, you guys are flooded with God's Word. It starts with a call to worship. It's usually a passage of Scripture, or it's always a passage of Scripture to some extent. God is welcoming us to come and meet with Him and to worship Him. There's songs that are derived from Scripture, and we sing psalms as well. Our prayers are crafted with scriptural language all the time, or explicitly Scripture itself. And then we have the reading of the word. Sometimes some churches have readings in addition to the passage of Scripture or that's being preached on. But then you at least have the passage of Scripture that's being read and then preached. And what you have, and every time a sermon is preached, you're getting an example of how to interpret and apply the Bible. Someone is teaching you how to read the Bible every time you hear a sermon. So it's a great opportunity to learn over time. That's the whole point. It's not that you remember the 3 points of the sermon and it changes your life forever. That's not the point. The point is that you are eating God's word, and over time you're growing up stronger in Him. So that a year later, you're better able to understand God's word and apply it to your life than you were before. You're not going to remember the sermon from last Sunday, maybe. That's okay. We don't expect you to. But you're being fed. You're being trained. And so if you want to learn how to study the Bible better, it takes some hard work to listen to the sermon. Some of you may need to take notes. It doesn't have to be amazing notes that you have, you're going to look back at. You may not even look back at it, but it keeps you following the train of thought. It keeps you awake, maybe. Some of you may need to draw or do an illustration or something. That helps you dig into the text. Whatever you need to do to stay focused and to follow along, do it. Maybe you need to just go out of the sanctuary and go to the bathroom, get a drink of water, and come back just to keep yourself focused. Do it. Maybe your parents might not like that, but you can talk to them. and there's other helps about how to listen to sermons as well, but just wanted to say that. For private study, I just want to say one thing about an actual physical copy of the Bible versus a digital copy. I use both, but I primarily use a written copy, and here's why. Reading comprehension is so much better from reading words on a page and reading from an actual book. They've done lots of studies of this. I don't have them right here for you, but I could find them for you. You could Google it. Part of the reason why is if you read a book, if you read 2 Timothy, you know where the passage you read fits into the greater context of that letter. You know where it fits in the rest of the Bible, and you can remember where it was on the page. But if you're reading on your phone, it's just like this endless text. Just keeps going, and you're not grounded in something bigger. So it feels like this little snapshot. However, I will say this. One way I really use my digital Bible really well is if I'm thinking of a verse and I can't remember where it is, but I remember like a couple words that are in the passage, I'll type it in the search on the app and it'll help me find it. Or if there's a word that I'm trying to find, passages about it, like say I want to find passages about Solomon, who knows, I can type his name in and boom, it'll find them for me. Really, really helpful. I use it all the time. But I would recommend you guys to use a printed Bible for the most of the time you're studying, with the digital stuff being like an enhancement of that.